This is Teddy Bridgewater, and you're listening to the Wobcast, hosted by Wobby.
Bridgewater shotgun. Cardinals blitz a million. Bridgewater fade right into the end zone. Touchdown! Touchdown, Teddy! The Cardinals thought they had come from behind, but they left a minute 11. They left too much time for Teddy. Second and 8 from the 13. Bridgewater shotgun, two receivers left and right. Takes the snap. Atlanta rushes four. Teddy looking left. Flushed out to the left. Opting to run to the 15. Teddy to the 10, to the 5. Dives for the end zone. Touchdown, Teddy! It's his first National Football League touchdown. Teddy Bridgewater runs the Minnesota Vikings to a 2014 lead. Bridgewater back to pass. Fade right to the end zone. Caught! Touchdown! A 22-yard touchdown, the first National Football League touchdown for Charles Johnson, the former Packer. It's 7-6 Green Bay. Bridgewater trailing by 8 with Asiata to his right, takes the Sullivan snap. Teddy goes on a 5-step drop, fires to the end zone, caught! Touchdown, Vikings! Teddy play action, boots out to the right. He'll dump it to the right man, wide open, caught. Touchdown, Vikings! It's Kyle Rudolph with his first touchdown since week one. It's a 4-yard touchdown, and the Vikings strike first, taking a 6-0 lead. Second and 10 from the 17. Bridgewater back to pass, swing left, pot. Jennings turns it up, 10-5. Dives for the end zone, touchdown! Teddy has thrown 8, and the Vikings are all over Carolina, 27-6. Three receivers right, one left. Teddy, shotgun, big blitz, fires right to Jarius Wright on the screen. Gets loose at the 15. He's to the 25-30. And Jarius Wright is loose! 30-20! Game-winning touchdown! From 87 yards out! And the Vikings walk off winners!
Welcome back to another edition of the Wobcast. I'm your host, Mike Wobshaw, coming to you from Winter Park. We're back, our second one of the week. We told you we'd be back later in the week with a quarterback issue of the Wobcast, and here we are. And to do it, we bring in a special guest, an authority on all things Vikings, to talk about the most important position in all of sports, the quarterback position. We bring in voice of the Vikings, Paul Allen. Hello, Paul.
Hi, Michael.
How are you?
Good. Thank you very much for having me on the Wobcast.
Thank you for joining us. We're here to talk about the quarterbacks, so we're going to lead it off with Teddy Bridgewater. Everyone heard a few highlights coming in to the show. We look back at his rookie season, his debut season, and what are your thoughts on it?
My thoughts are that I loved his improvement at the end of the season. And, you know, while some will look at the way he handled his first start against Atlanta, or maybe the penultimate game of the season at Miami, where the team lost, but he was phenomenal at certain phases of the game. The most impressive Teddy Bridgewater story I have off his first season is after the team lost at home to Detroit.
Yeah.
And he threw his worst interception of the year in that game.
He took 8 sacks.
Right.
And had some had turnovers.
Greg Jennings was wide open underneath the crossbar early in the game where it was still a close game. And he tried to force feed one to Cordarrelle Patterson, and Glover Quinn sucked him into it and jumped the route. It was a terrible interception. But off that and the 8 sacks he took that game, the way he bounced back was very, very impressive to me.
Now, I think if you look at, he started 12 games. The Vikings went 6-6. So obviously you look at that and you're sitting at 500, and 500 reeks of mediocrity. But I don't think anyone would really describe his debut season as mediocre. I think if you consider entering 2015, he's on a string of 10 straight games with a touchdown pass. Very good.
Yep.
His completion percentage, 64.4%, third best all time for a rookie quarterback.
That's really good.
Can you name the two who were better?
Within the team or the NFL?
NFL history, third best rookie completion percentage of all
Dan
time.
I would go with Dan Marino and Ben Roethlisberger.
You got one. Ben Roethlisberger's number one. RG3 was number two.
Oh, sweet.
Teddy comes in at number three, so that's very good. And then another thing I liked about his rookie season, and you will probably remember this very well because you're calling all the games, and you are best in drama-filled games, 4 come-from-behind victories for Teddy Bridgewater. So I think when you look at those stats and those numbers, 6-6 doesn't really speak to the season he had. Those numbers really do.
Well, if you're looking to sell Teddy Bridgewater, Hope, it's very easy because of those numbers and the way he finished the season. On the other side of that, I honestly would prefer if the team was not behind as much as it was last year. So maybe there will be a turn to it in 2015, specifically with Adrian Peterson back in the mix, where they're able to chew more clock, keep the defense more fresh, and then permit Bridgewater to do more big spot stuff within the constraints of a close game.
Sure.
Or when you're looking to put a team away. You know, when we had Brett Favre here in 2009, you know, we remember Brett Favre as being the guy you would want to have the ball with 2 minutes left if you were trailing. But Favre also was inherently good at having a 2-3-4-5 point lead and the ball and burying somebody. Mm-hmm. He had that killer instinct. That's what I would like to see Bridgewater have next within his repertoire. Have the lead late, touchdown Teddy on your side, bury somebody, win a game.
Better chance to do that this season with some improvements to the offensive line with Adrian Peterson back. You add Mike Wallace, a couple of the younger guys with another season of experience under their belts. Perhaps the Vikings will be in a position to do that. All things told, Teddy Bridgewater earns Rookie of the Year honors at the end of the season, and everything is looking up for our quarterback. I'll give you an option. You can take one of these two: Teddy's best game as a rookie or Teddy's breakout game as a rookie. I choose which one you want to take and then identify the game.
I'll take
the other one.
I would take best game of the season, and I would call it the loss to the Miami Dolphins.
I agree.
And in doing so, it's weird to say anything was best when you lose, but in watching part, if not most of that game back with the likes of Norv Turner and quarterbacks coach Scott Turner, they just showed me some things and pointed out some things to me that really entailed how far Bridgewater had come from overthrowing guys in the Redskins game, missing Jarius Wright badly deep in the Falcons game, taking all those sacks in the Lions game, where all those sacks were not on the offensive line, tight ends, or running backs. A fair amount of them were on Bridgewater for holding the ball too long. But I would say the Dolphins game, second to last game of the season, specifically how he led Greg Jennings on a touchdown, hit Greg Jennings in the middle of the field on a big play, and also the way he led Jarius Wright on a touchdown, I was extremely impressed.
Yeah, I agree with that. I thought that was his best game. His breakout game, PA, I'll go with the Atlanta game, which was week 4 at home. He started that game, and this was kind of after everything happened with Adrian, and then Matt Castle went down, and Teddy is thrust into action. And he's the starter. He leads us to a come from behind victory in that game, 19-30 for 317 yards. No touchdowns, but also no interceptions. Did not take a bunch of sacks.
Yep.
And got us out to a big lead. Atlanta caught up. Teddy led us back to victory, just as he had done against the Arizona Cardinals in the preseason, which is when the whole too much time for Teddy thing broke out. And that was kind of one of his calling cards, was being able to come from behind, close games out in the fourth quarter. That's what Paul and I think about Teddy Bridgewater heading into 2015. Let's take a listen to some of the national pundits and what they think. Here's Bucky Brooks from NFL Network.
Bucky Brooks joins us now for Bucky's Best. All right, Bucky, we're talking about sophomore players primed to have a great season, the best one. So we're starting out basically on all offense here, but we have Teddy Bridgewater as your quarterback. Go.
Yeah, Teddy Bridgewater is outstanding. Teddy Bridgewater finished the year the way that you want to see your quarterback finish. Strong. Last four games, completed over 70% of his passes in each of those contests. Displayed the poise, the accuracy, the pocket presence that you want to see. Also made some big plays. If I'm building my franchise, I want to see my young quarterback start to get it down the stretch. He did that. Because of that, they feel good. Adrian Peterson comes back. They gave him Mike Wallace.
Yeah.
Charles Johnson has shown that he could be a big-time playmaker. I really like what they're doing in Minnesota. Teddy Bridgewater is going to see his game go up a notch because he's ready to take control.
It is about the 27th ranked offense of the Minnesota Vikings. Adrian Peterson, I think they're going to be able to rely on him. But the biggest question is, can Teddy Bridgewater take this offense to the next level? Can he take advantage of a crowded box and hit on play-action passes down the field? He only completed 32% of his passes last year when they were throws of 21 yards or longer. He's going to have opportunities to hit home runs in this passing game.
And I'll throw one name out here, which we could talk about, Teddy Bridgewater. And I would be surprised at this point if he does not evolve into a better-than-average starting quarterback. You know, I start by saying, ultimately, the draft process did Teddy Bridgewater dirty. And I think they got the best quarterback in this draft, or at least the guy that I think is the safest and I know for sure is going to be there. Bridgewater was sensational in December. He closed the season with a better five-game stretch than any rookie had.
70% completion percentage and finished December as Pro Football Focus's number one quarterback.
Woo! You make a good point, though.
Really?
For that
over one. Aaron Rodgers. Yeah.
See, that doesn't shock me. He looked like an above-average starter, and I like the fact he's not a flashy guy, but he's impressive to watch.
So what about Teddy Bridgewater, Adrian Peterson, and Mike Wallace as a trio? Is this team – I know it's
– This team is going to be – that team is going to be very, very good. So I think Teddy Bridgewater lights it up because now he has Adrian Peterson. And when you think about the Vikings passing game, North Turner calls an offense that is a vertical stretch offense, meaning they push the ball down the field. They may not throw as often as some teams, but when they throw, they push it. Charles Johnson, mm-hmm. who started last year, second-year player, a guy that has come on like game busters, he's good. But they also have a Pro Bowl tight end in Kyle Rudolph.
Yep.
So when you look at that team from a skill standpoint, they have all the pieces in place to be outstanding.
We go from the national perspective to some other perspective within the walls of Winter Park. Here's what some Vikings think about Teddy.
What did you see when you saw Minnesota and coming here? What was it that seemed appealing to you?
Young quarterback, you know, was continually getting better every single game at the end of last year. I saw that. And, you know, they gave us a tough game at the end of the last year in Miami.
Yeah, it makes it fun for us to just go out there and have fun with each other and just go play the game we love. And with Teddy at quarterback, it makes it easier even on us. You know, we make it easy on him and he makes it easy on us. And we're having fun every day and getting better.
To have the opportunity to play in this offense and not only to play in this offense, but to have the guys around me that we have out here, you know, with a Mike Wallace, with a Jarius Wright, Adrian Peterson, Cordarrelle Patterson, and then you have a guy like Teddy Bridgewater in his second year who's so much more comfortable and has really grabbed this offense as his.
And I noticed it quite a bit even in phase two that he was becoming more of a leader, and you can tell that this is more of his team as we continue to go. He's a lot more vocal with the guys as far as telling them where to go and what routes they should be running, and he has obviously has a better command of the offense as well.
He's done a great job this offseason. When he went home, you know, he's a what you call self-starter, self-motivator, took all the tapes, evaluated where he was at last year, and just see him being around the team coming in the second year and the confidence that he has and just knowing the offense and being involved in the scheme 1 year and learning from some of the, you know, the good things he's done as well as some of the bad things he did last year. So, and seeing him start to become the leader of this team and to take command of that huddle, it's a maturing process that you see taking place right in front of you. And does he have a ways to go yet? Still, he's going to get better. And is he going to be this year when he may be 3 or 4 years down the road? But we're very excited about his progress and how well he's worked at to be the best he can be.
All right, Paul, you've heard the national perspective. You've heard the local perspective. Your own show from 9 to noon, you talk about Teddy all the time because you talk a lot of Vikings. And when you talk NFL, you talk quarterback. So for so long, it's been the Vikings are looking for their franchise quarterback. They always get these stopgap guys, right? Brett Favre and those sorts of guys. Now we have a young franchise quarterback in whom we believe. So what's it like talking about that?
Well, it impressed me most what those on the inside were saying about how they can sense things are different with him. Because last year, he was fine. I mean, he was treating the scenario out of respect. When we were at training camp, he was battling Matt Cassel for a starting job. I think a lot of us behind the scenes knew Cassel had that job won. And I think Bridgewater probably knew it too. But he still handled it with class, didn't step on any toes, didn't try to be, I'm a first-round pick. You know, Cassel is a guy who's potentially nearing the end of his career, and I should be the starting quarterback. He wasn't like that either. He was very respectful. He's a very respectful young man. I think, you know, with 9 to noon on the flagship KFAN and some things we talk about is the level of excitement with the options he has. When I'm watching organized team activities or when I'm talking to offensive coaches about this team, the level of excitement with the wide receivers and the tight ends is something that definitely bears mentioning into minicamp and into training camp.
Yeah.
I can argue with Charles Johnson, Jarius Wright, Mike Wallace, and Cordarrelle Patterson, the Vikings have the fastest quartet of receivers in the NFL. I'm talking straight line speed. So now when you have that straight line speed, that does not necessarily lead you to the Super Bowl. But when you have a respected coordinator like Norv Turner and a suddenly poised and respected quarterback in Teddy Bridgewater with 28 in the backfield off the play action, we could really, really be onto something good here.
Yep. Now you talk to Teddy and he does not believe that he's arrived. He knows that he has things to improve upon. So with that being said, I feel comfortable maybe saying one or two things that we'd like to see him get better at. We'd like to see him get better at everything, obviously. He's a young player, and the sky is the limit for him. But I'll look at two things, and I'd like you to offer either your opinion on those or two different things. One is we saw him sail passes a little bit, and maybe that's a mechanical issue that Scott Turner and Norv Turner can work with him on. I thought it got better as the season wore on, and you certainly cannot discredit his accuracy. We went over the fact that he's the third most accurate rookie quarterback in NFL history. So accuracy is not a problem for him, but when it does become a problem, he throws high. Maybe that's a mechanical thing. And then the second thing I would point out is he takes too many sacks, or he took too many sacks as a rookie. 8 against the Lions, 5 against the Bills, 4 apiece against the Lions the second time around, and then against the Dolphins. That's too many. You'd never see Drew Brees, Tom Brady, Peyton Manning take that many sacks. It's not because their O-line is that much better. It's because they get rid of the ball. They know how to get rid of the ball on time. So those are the two things I would point to.
Yep.
If you could handpick one or two things that you'd like to see him improve dramatically upon, can you pinpoint anything?
Well, I agree with both of yours, absolutely. The pass sailing bit got better as the year went on. Mm-hmm. You know, you mentioned earlier with the breakout game, the Falcons game, I liked Bridgewater's game in that game, but I knew there would be better. The thing I liked most about Teddy in that Atlanta game was how they were chanting his name. They were super excited to see him. The place was electric that day, and he handled the moment. Mm-hmm. The moment was not too big for Teddy. That's the thing that really mattered most to me, and I think that's how he's wired, which really impresses me. For me, two things would be, one, on a smaller scale, I want to see him run more. I've always wanted to see Bridgewater, specifically with a healthy Kyle Rudolph and Mike Wallace in the mix now. I want Teddy to take yards that are in front of him, and I don't want him to worry about what Adrian Peterson or the wide receivers think, because they're doing their thing and Teddy just ran for 15. He has to recognize, to be a leader, you have to take what's given to you, and sometimes that means running for 6 yards, mm-hmm. and that demoralizes defenses. I've seen Russell Wilson do it a million times.
Yeah.
Same thing with Cam Newton and RG3. You know, here we got Wallace double covered here. Adrian flares out of the backfield. We got that covered. We got Stephon Diggs, Jarius Wright, whomever out of the slot. We got that covered. Oh, my God, the quarterback just ran for 15. That's backbreaking stuff. Biggest for me with Bridgewater is handling expectations. There are a lot of local and national people, as we've heard, are on Teddy. Loved how you finished. Gave you Mike Wallace. Gave you a healthy Rudolph. Khalil's more healthy at left tackle. And you got Adrian back. Yep. Go do it. Handling expectations, sometimes handling prosperity is more difficult than handling despair.
Sure.
And I was very impressed with how he handled prosperity last year. He has bona fide big time tools on this team now. It's up to Teddy.
Someone who can help Teddy do that is Sean Hill. The Vikings signed Sean Hill in free agency. Now, this is a signing that goes under the radar and people don't talk about it. But as anyone who's in the business or who watches NFL games knows, sometimes you're only as good as your backup quarterback.
Yep.
And the Vikings are a team that the past two seasons, they've used 3 quarterbacks each season. Obviously, we hope we don't do that this season. If we do, the next guy we turn to is Sean Hill. This will be his 14th season, Paul. I know that you know Sean very well because he began his career with the Vikings from 2002 to 2005. I think you look back at his career, he's played, the season where he played the most was with the Lions in 2010.
Yeah.
That's where he accumulated the most numbers. It was not a very good team, and they lost a bunch of games that year.
Yeah.
But that's where Sean Hill got most of his playing experience, and his numbers were okay. He's had 7 seasons with 0 or 1 game played.
Wow.
So that tells you that he has experience as a backup quarterback.
Yeah.
Right after Sean signed with the Vikings, we took a few minutes out of our day to chat with him in the studio. Here's what he had to say.
One of the newest members of the Minnesota Vikings steps into Xfinity Studios at Winter Park. It's quarterback Sean Hill. Welcome back to Minnesota, Sean.
Thank you very much. It's good to be here.
Good. It's fun to have you. We're in Xfinity Studios, which didn't exist when you were first a Viking back in the early 2000s. What do you remember about your first stint with the Vikings?
Oh, there's a lot of great memories, really. But this particular spot, there was a ping pong table. In 2005, I lost a lot of ping pong matches against Brad Johnson right here where we're standing. But a lot of fond memories here. Very excited to be back here. A lot of familiar faces still in the building.
A lot has changed since you've been here. One thing that hasn't is ownership. You got to spend a season or a year with the Wilf family, and they're still our owners. What do you remember about working with them, and what do you look forward to working with them?
Yeah, a lot of respect for them. They came in, and instantly kind of changed this organization, and you could kind of see how this organization has built. under their leadership. And you know, obviously the stadium coming in, that's real exciting. Mm-hmm. They certainly have a good thing going here. Good young team that's certainly on the rise. And, you know, I'm just very fortunate to be back.
A big part of the young team that's on the rise is quarterback Teddy Bridgewater, who's been a player for one season, so you've gotten exposed to him for 1 year. What are your thoughts on Teddy's first season, and what do you think about working with him going forward?
Well, the first thing I'll say is anybody that I've talked to in the last day, they all have something good to say about Teddy Bridgewater. None of them have anything bad to say about him. And that's not just people in this building. That's people around the league. So already in his short career, he's gained a lot of respect just for the type of guy he is. And obviously, he's a very talented player. I look forward to hopefully sharing some of the information that I've gained over the years with him. It's going to be a great work environment for both of us, and it'll be fun.
One of the teams you've played for since you were a Viking was the San Francisco 49ers. So I have two things to bring up with you about that. You were involved in a very infamous game in Vikings history, but yes, you were on the wrong end of it. You already know where I'm going with it, don't you?
Yeah.
What was it? Favre DeLuis.
Favre's first home game, in the Metrodome. Yeah.
You remember that game?
Yeah, barely.
Yeah. We all do, too.
Yeah, I still lose sleep over that.
You thought you had a victory, didn't you? You were close.
Yeah. Well, when you're playing against Favre, one thing I knew going into that drive was, you don't count a victory till the clock clicks zero. So. That was a wild one.
And you were working with Norv Turner when you were in San Francisco at one point. You're going to be working with him again. Was that a factor for you in choosing to come to Minnesota once again?
Yeah, it was. A lot of respect for him, always have. So just the opportunity to work with him again was certainly something that played a factor.
All right, Sean Hill, he's our backup.
Yeah.
Talk to us about Sean Hill, because you know him better than I know him, and give people listening kind of what you want out of your backup quarterback.
Well, with Sean, I started calling Vikings games in 2002, and he came into the NFL as an undrafted guy from Maryland in 2002. Sean and I played a lot of cards together, kind of hit it off really well, along with Chris Walsh and Matt Burke and Tyrone Carter and some other guys on that team back then, Everett Lindsay, Corbin Lacina. And it was a very cool group. You know, it was a group that won six games, but it was a tightly knit group, and I very much enjoyed that year. Sean is as down to earth as you're going to find. I don't think you can do better as a backup quarterback, to be honest with you, because he has starting equity. He's done well as a backup quarterback. Mm-hmm. He's played extensively for your offensive coordinator,
yes,
in Norv Turner when he was back with the Niners. And he's not the kind of guy that's always going to be tapping on Norv or Scott Turner's shoulder saying, use me, use me, use me. Now, one thing I do always believe is a little overrated in the NFL is when it comes to veteran players nearing the ends of their careers, taking people under their wing and having it seem like it's some major cultivation project. Sean will help Teddy, and Sean will point things out with Teddy, but Sean has a job to do too. You know, these veterans are in self-preservation mode at this stage of their career.
Certainly.
Now, Sean wants to play, don't get me wrong, but he recognizes it's Teddy's team. But I don't think you can do better with a backup quarterback than Sean Hill, one of the real affable guys in the NFL, and I think we should be honored to have him.
Now, I think that people really do understand and support the idea that you want a veteran as your backup, especially when you have a young quarterback, a veteran who can show a young guy the ropes. Sean was with Norv Turner in San Francisco in 2006, so he knows where the bones are buried, as we like to say about quarterbacks and offenses. So that's all good. At the end of the day, though, you want your backup to be able to play,
right,
if he has to play. Now, Sean played last season for the Rams quite a bit. I believe 9 games he played, and maybe even 8 starts. He played against us. Now, Sean has a sub-500 record as a starter. He's 16-18, so right around 500. So that might not really get people that excited, but I would venture to guess that this is the best team in terms of support and skill position players that Sean has been on during his career. So if he was thrust into action,
yeah,
do you believe that the Vikings can put a Band-Aid on this thing with Sean Hill and win a couple of games if he has to play for 3, 4, or 5
weeks? Sean never has had the ability to go play action to Adrian Peterson.
Right.
Now, you know, he's played with Megatron, and he's played with some good players during his career, but nobody to the caliber, running back-wise, of Adrian. Here's the thing about Sean, and I would say this to him if I was off the Wobcast and he was sitting right next to me now. Mm-hmm. Sean throws a heavy ball. He does not throw a very attractive football as quarterbacks go. Sean is can be a little on the paunchy side. And when you look at him, he does not pass the eye test of a true National Football League quarterback. And that's deceptive when you get into games because people look at him and they think, okay, he's going to be easy to sack. Okay, he doesn't have much fire on his ball. Okay, he doesn't run that well. He runs better than people think. He throws the ball timing-wise extremely good. So he uses what tools God gave him, and he gets it there on time. And he's also tough to bring down. Yeah. Sean's very smart, too. So absolutely, the Vikings could win games with Sean Hill.
Great. Let's go to the third and fourth quarterbacks on this roster in no particular order. It's Mike Kafka, who's a veteran of four NFL seasons and a fourth-round pick in 2010 of the Philadelphia Eagles.
Right.
He's played for the Eagles, the Patriots, the Jaguars, the Buccaneers, and now the Vikings. So a little bit of a journeyman. I think because he's just 27 years old, you can even still call him a project. And I'm not sitting here saying, you know, Norv is trying to turn Mike Kafka into a franchise caliber quarterback. That might not be the case. Maybe the ceiling for him is to be a good backup like Sean Hill. There's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
I think that's what you have in Mike Kafka. Taylor Heinicke is the rookie the Vikings have on the roster. This was a guy who was at the Vikings top 30 event, an event that you played a significant role in because you were the MC at the dinner. So I'm sure you ran into Taylor Heinicke. I happened to do a film study on Taylor Heinicke before the draft.
Sweet.
Pointing out some of his strengths and weaknesses. You know, I thought that he looked to me like he was a very smart player, understood defenses, was undersized, did not have a great arm, but threw the ball on time, knows how to get the ball deep down the middle of the field, which is a staple of a Norv Turner offense. So, you know, I think there are little bits and pieces about both Taylor Heinicke and Mike Kafka where it's like a quarterback's coach and a coordinator can say, you know what, we can use this guy as our third quarterback. But, you know, I know that you've watched a few practices. You probably haven't paid a lot of close attention to Mike Kafka or Taylor Heinicke. But when you look at a third quarterback, and those are the two guys the Vikings have, well, what's the situation at third quarterback? What do you think Scott Turner and Norv Turner want out of the third quarterback? And do you, for some reason, have a preference between the two?
I think Heinicke and Kafka are going to battle for one spot. I don't think it's going to be Kafka, you're the three. Heinicke, you're on the practice squad. Because quite honestly, I think the Old Dominion kid did enough in college to be moderately worried about somebody taking him and then having him end up on their practice squad. And plus, I think the Vikings have a bevy of players that were either taken late in the draft or like a safety, Anthony Harris, an undrafted guy from Virginia. I personally don't believe they want to let him go. So I think he will be practice squad bound. So I don't think the practice squad spots are going to be super plentiful. So I have Heinicke and Kafka battling each other for one spot. I would make Heinicke a little favorite in that, simply because the NFL has seen nothing of him. The spread offense out of which he comes from Old Dominion may not be conducive in some people's eyes to the NFL, but he got the ball there on time, and he has a very good arm. You're right. I did MC the top 30 at Olympic Hills, and he was there, and I did chat with him, and he's a quiet yet smart kind of guy. So I think those two are battling for one spot, and I think Heinicke will win it.
I would say Kafka, the advantage that he has is he's 4 years into it. He's been with five teams. He knows how training camps work. He knows how to act in the meeting room. He's been on an NFL roster before. Yeah. So I think that's his advantage. I think the advantage for Heinicke is he's handpicked by Norv and Scott Turner.
Yep.
Right? I mean, so he was a rookie this year.
Yep.
The Vikings had him here on a pre-draft visit, and then the Vikings went after him in undrafted free agency. Hey, so I think that's his advantage.
Take that a step farther. I know we're on quarterbacks, but just quickly, 20 seconds on tight ends.
Yeah.
Take that a step farther. You know Kyle Rudolph's in the mix. Then you have Rhett Ellison, Chase Ford, Brandon Bostic, and a player hand-picked by offensive coordinator Norv Turner and Mycole Pruitt.
Right.
That stuff matters, you know, because I've heard nothing but good things about Mycole Pruitt the entire offseason. And I think that plays into this quarterback conversation too.
Yeah. Let's, you know, to wrap things up, let's not put the cart before the horse and start talking about who's got the best
14-2
quarterback.
Oh, sorry.
Thank you.
The 15-1
quarterback room in the league, you know, because we don't have a guy who's a surefire Hall of Famer. We don't even have a guy who's been to the Pro Bowl.
Right.
But as collecting quarterbacks goes and having four or five right now, needing to whittle it down to three by the beginning of September, and then needing to rely on one guy for the season. Given where we've been at the quarterback spot in the recent past and how we've been struggling there, how do you feel about where we are right now?
We're in very good shape, extremely good shape. Teddy Bridgewater arguably should have been the first overall pick in the 2014 draft. Mm-hmm. We got him at 32, and he's on our team. And he got better at the end of the year. The offensive coordinator has worked with nothing but big-time quarterbacks all during his career. If Norv Turner has the right tools with which to work, like everybody else, he's proven he can win at a very high level, and he has that. And finally, the thing that I think helps Bridgewater the most to lead me to that opinion is, with all due respect to everybody involved, Mike Wallace is the best receiver we've had here since Sidney Rice or Percy Harvin, the 2009 version.
Correct.
And that's 09. I mean, this is a big-timer who had 10 touchdowns last year, 9 inside the red zone, because Tannehill's not great stretching the field, where I think Bridgewater may be as good, if not better, than Tannehill, and Ryan didn't have the play-action option that Teddy does. So I think the Vikings are as squared away a quarterback since really back to when Dante Culpepper, you knew, would start all 16 and you would get a really good season out of him. Mm-hmm. Brett Favre in 09 is as good as it gets.
It's an anomaly.
Yeah. A perfect way to put it.
Yeah.
So, the team and fans should be incredibly excited about what's coming up.
All right, Paul, we're going to do a Wobcast for every position group leading up to training camp. You're welcome to join us for as many of them as you want to.
Sweet.
But in each one, we're going to play a game, the 10-6, 6-10 game. Mm-hmm. All right. So the Vikings go 10-6 and perhaps win the NFC North if the quarterback or quarterbacks do what?
I think you're going to need to win more than 10 games to win the NFC North, first of all. But secondly, you need to have a touchdown to interception ratio better than 2-1. Mm-hmm. The completion percentage for me with Bridgewater actually can go down a little bit if the yards per attempt goes up.
Yeah.
That's key. That's going to be one key thing for which I'm looking, beginning with the Niners game. I liked his completion percentage, but I thought he was a little too conservative too early in his starting career. So that would be my answer to that.
So you're saying let it rip a little bit more.
Run a little bit more. Hey, and you know what? Mike Wallace is a big boy. He's a veteran. He recognizes being probably the best receiver on this team, he's going to get the most coverage. So great. Charles Johnson, let's see you do it again. Jarius Wright, let's see you do what you can do. Kyle Rudolph, stay healthy for me. Adrian, be Adrian.
That's how we go 10-6 and hopefully win the division. If the Vikings things go amiss and they're 6-10, it will be because the quarterbacks.
Bridgewater gets knocked down in game 2. Sean Hill gets knocked down in game 5. And we're balancing the Kafka-Heineke trick for like 3 quarters of the season.
Okay, let's hope that doesn't happen.
Yeah, it's not going to happen, so don't worry about it.
Some superlatives. The Vikings quarterback most likely to be the most improved player this season will be.
Say it again.
The Vikings quarterback who will be the most improved this season will be.
Teddy Bridgewater, because he's going to take good and make it close to great.
The Vikings quarterback who would be best at calling horse races would be?
That probably would be Taylor Heineke, okay, because that sounds like the name of an announcer at who would call races at Mountaineer Park in West Virginia.
Okay. The quarterback you would most like to sit on the charter plane to our first preseason game would be?
Sean Hill, because I know his Boo Ray traits, and I'd like to take some of that NFL money.
And he's got plenty of it.
He's got plenty of that cash, but I think Boo Ray has been outlawed in the old Vikings charters.
Then you better stay away from it.
Yep, so I'll stay away from him. I'll sit next to Kafka to talk about the origin of his last name.
Very good.
Every single trip.
Thank you, Paul. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, thanks for having me on the Wobcast.
You bet. That's it for this week's edition of the Wobcast. We're going to be back next week. We're going to break down another position. We may even have another special guest to help us do it. For Paul Allen, for producer Nathan Vaughn, this is your host, Mike Wobshaw. We'll talk to you next week.